Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Yankees manager Aaron Boone, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN New York. Have a great show, boys.
Thank you, Aaron, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, April 14th, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours, the other 20 and a half. That is your responsibility. How about this, Donnie? Aaron Boone goes out of his way to welcome us at the start of the show.
Yeah. Right.
And just as he was welcoming us, the Yankee lineup is out.
See, that's amazing. The next thing you know, it's going to come out before the show.
Right.
The Reed's going to say, as you're already aware.
Right. It's stunning. Frankly, it's stunning. Would you like me to give the lineup right away before we
get
into it?
It's awkward that it's right out of the box, but you know what? I'm also I'm looking at the television screen, and Peter with his sunglasses looks like Pitbull.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is this, the Pitbull reunion? What are you doing?
Listen, hey, Mr. Worldwide. I was just outside enjoying the weather with Natalie. We had a little lunch on the roof. I just wasn't ready to turn off what's going on outside. I kept the glasses on because, damn it, today's the most – we said the other day was the best day of the year. Today's the best day of the year.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's incredible. So I just wasn't ready yet.
All right, let's see who gets the rest roulette today.
Oh, let's see.
So the Yankees starting lineup tonight is brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Do you want to guess who gets rest roulette?
If I had to guess, if Vladimir Guerrero was a Yankee, he'd get the rest.
Oh, wow. Is that where you're going to go with, you're gonna go with Boone there at 4 o'clock? Is that what you're going to do?
Hey, listen, I might. I've got some I got some gripes.
All right, here we go. Third baseman Josh Donaldson leads off. Center fielder Aaron Judge bats second. Anthony Rizzo in first base will hit third. Cleaning up, playing right field, Giancarlo Stanton. DJ LeMay with second base bats fifth. Batting sixth, left fielder is Joey Gallo. Gleyber Torres, the DH, will bat seventh. Batting eighth and playing shortstop, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. And the catcher, batting ninth, is Jose Trevino.
So no Hicks.
No Hicks and no Higashioka. Mm. And Luis Severino will get the start for the Yankees. He'll be opposing the Blue Jays, Kevin Gausman, formerly of the Orioles and the Giants. So there you have it. That's the Yankee starting lineup. Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Yankees would like to win this game, obviously. That would mean they split the four-game set against Toronto. Four games off the schedule. That means that their season-opening homestand, they would have been 4-3. Obviously, they would have wanted better, but that's not bad.
No.
But a pretty much a swing game after a really disappointing loss last night where Vlad Guerrero was absolutely stunning. Just stunning. The home run that he hit in the first inning that went off the glove of Aaron Hicks, that was a mistake by Cole, hanging breaking ball. The next home run off of Cole, I don't know how many people in baseball could ever hit that ball out. It was a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, low and inside. Somehow he kept his hands in and drilled it. Then he had a double against Cole, at which point Cole tipped his cap to him, then hit a home run off Jonathan Loaisiga. And in the ninth inning, there were two outs and nobody on. Bo Bichette grounded out to second. Otherwise, Vlad Guerrero would have come up again and would have had a chance to get four home runs. Do you realize, and David said this during the game, it's harder to get four home runs in a game than it is to pitch a perfect game.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to think.
I think it's 19 times four home runs in a game, 23 perfect games.
I know Bob Horner did it, what, in like 85?
Right. The last guy to do it was J.D. Martinez when he was at the Diamondbacks.
It just doesn't happen. See, that's to me, like, But they get giddy about the cycle. I'm sorry, four home runs is way better. Matter of fact, I think that what the Guerrero did last night was better than the cycle.
Oh, absolutely, because the cycle, let's see, 1, 3, 6, it's 10 total bases. Four home runs is 16 total bases.
Right, and he had three home runs and a double, right?
Right.
So I'd rather do that.
I would agree. I've told all you guys about this, listening. The Blue Jays ain't no joke. They're young. They're athletic. I mean, they held Guerrero down for two games, by the way. He was 0 for 8 in the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a matter of time with these players. It's just a matter of time. And they've got great ones. Underrated guy, he's probably hurt now because he swung and hurt his left side. Teoscar Hernandez is outstanding. George Springer, when healthy, is outstanding. Lourdes Gurriel, the left fielder, is really, really good. Chapman is one of the best third basemen in the world. The shortstop, Bo Bichette, is outstanding. Looks like Espinal has taken the job away from Kevin Biggio. And then the first baseman is Vlad Guerrero. The only weakness to have, and it's not really that much of a weakness, is catcher. Now, Danny Jansen's on the IL, and Alejandro Kirk is not bad. Their starting five is really good. Their bullpen is decent. I'd say their bullpen is probably the weakest part of their team. This team's not going away, everybody. Everybody's, they're the flavor of the month. That's why everybody's picking them. No. Everybody's picking them because they're really, really good.
They're very good. They're outstanding. And the Yankees have a chance to split with them at home. And as you said, 4-3 is probably not what you wanted out of a 7-game homestand. But what you don't want is 3-4.
Right.
So tonight's a big game. And I know it's early. Of course it's early. We've got 162 games, so we can't get crazy over the first six. But, Peter, when you start at home against the Red Sox and Blue Jays, teams you're going to be competing with, those games, I'm sorry, carry a little bit more weight than series against Baltimore and series against Detroit or Kansas City or, whoever. I mean, the games in your division, games at home, these are the games you want to get. Now, it's not the end of the world, but I'm sorry, those carry a little bit more weight than some of the other games later in the season.
Well, but let's also be fair. They already got 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. So that's a good start. I mean, of course, sweeping will be fantastic. But is anyone in the world disappointed with 2 of 3?
No, 2 of 3 is great, but losing 3 of 4 to the Blue Jays is bad. Because
that's why you want to get
tonight. The Blue Jays at home were 8-2 again. Yankee Stadium were 8-2 last year.
That's why I agree with Don. You definitely want tonight. But the way I guess I look at it is this. They drop the game tonight. It's a bummer. That's not an ideal series to have. Obviously, 3 of 4 at home, that's not what you want. If you sweep it, you're totally – I mean, if you win and you split it, you're totally fine. You went 2 of 3 and split with, a more talented team. That's not the end of the world. I don't think that this is like, it's getting late early. Like, everyone needs to just say, let's all relax.
Of course.
Here.
Now, it's funny. I usually look at Yankee Twitter after the game. So I had made a comment during the game that Cole is pitching well. And, all of these, baseman geniuses, pitching well, he gave up. Let me tell you what. Gerrit Cole pitched well yesterday. He made that one mistake to Vlad Guerrero in the first inning. And that was a ball that, I'm sorry, Aaron Hicks should catch. It's not an easy catch, but it was in his glove. So it was a home run. Okay, good. The other pitch, there's no way that you could even make an excuse for it. It's a great pitch, and a great hitter hit it out. But everybody wants to jump on Gerrit Cole because they think he's going to pitch a no-hitter every time out, or they commensurate that with the fact that he makes $36 million. He should pitch a no-hitter every time out. He pitched well yesterday. If he pitches like that every single game, he's going to win a lot of games for the Yankees, but he ran into a buzzsaw yesterday.
I get it, but he's the buzzsaw too, man. I'm sorry, you get graded a little differently. And we were having our meeting, and Anthony was kind of taking your tack. Listen, he pitched pretty good. Well, so it's pretty good enough for your ace. I mean, he's held to a different standard, Michael. He came in second in the Cy Young last year. They gave him a 9-year contract to be your stopper, and I know he's not completely stretched out yet, but 5 2/3 innings is not even a quality start. So, he was okay, is that the standard that he has set? Is it okay for Yankee fans to say, I expect a little more from him? All right, he's not stretched out, but does he have to give up, 3 runs in 5 2/3 innings?
No, but, you know, when he left the game, it was tied.
All right.
And I know what you're saying, but let's look at the guy across town who's 2-0, Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer hasn't pitched great, but he's 2-0 because the Mets played better behind him and they got the runs that they needed. Now, there's no excuse for Gerrit Cole losing his mind over what happened on opening day. That I will take him to task for. I'm sorry, 4 minutes later with Billy Crystal throwing out the first pitch shouldn't unnerve you to that way. We hit four straight balls out of the strike zone, then the home run to Devers. I'm not going to defend that. But I thought yesterday he didn't pitch pretty good. He pitched good. He pitched well. He pitched well yesterday. And I know what you're saying, Don, but he's not Sandy Koufax right now. And we're still a work in progress. All of the pitchers are. 85 pitches he threw yesterday. Next time out, he'll throw 100 pitches, and then you're going to expect more than six innings out of him. You can't tell me he couldn't have gotten the last out of that sixth inning yesterday, but Aaron Boone was uncomfortable with him being at 85 pitches.
No, I get that's why I'm not going to kill him for only going 5 2/3. But he did give up three runs. Again, it's a great Blue Jay team. I'm just saying that I think that when you're Cole and you're one of the best pitchers in baseball and you're coming off being second in the Cy Young and you were brought here to be an ace of the staff, and boy, he needs to be because this is not a great rotation. It could be a good rotation, but you really rely on him to be your stud. And he's been good. But I can understand a Yankee fan saying, I'd like to see better. And this is also coming off of not being great in the wild card game, the game he was specifically brought here to win. So it's never just one guy. And, of course, I'll give him a break, but I also give the Yankee fans a break to say, you know, is he pitching to the level that he should? And, yeah, wins and losses don't matter in the analytic world, but to the fans they do.
Mm-hmm. But he hasn't lost any. He's 0-0.
Right, but and they're 1-1 in his starts.
Right.
And it took extra innings to be able to win on opening day, and they lost yesterday. So I that's tough. You know, you're just when you're great, you're held to a different standard. When you are good, you're held to a much different standard than the Coles and the Scherzers and the DeGroms of the world. It's just the way that it is. So I'm not talking about the money, Michael. I'm just talking about what is expected of him.
Now, there's a couple of things that, you know, it's early. We know that. But there's a couple of things I think are legitimate concerns, and I want to toss them out there. I made a comment on the air yesterday that, you know, six games in, the Yankee lineup is a pre-DH National League lineup. I believe that both Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and Kyle Higashioka, they're 1-for-17 apiece. That's 2-for-34. They're not getting any kind of production out of the bottom of the order. Now, is it going to stay like that? I don't know. But right now, that's not a good thing. And another thing I noticed, and we're going to talk to Aaron Boone about this when he joins us at 4 o'clock. I've said this from even before the game started. Everybody, like, it's a ballyhooed. Oh, they have 9 starters for 8 positions. And I've said that's not a good thing. But check this out, Don and Peter. The third baseman yesterday is DJ LeMahieu. So that means the better third baseman, Josh Donaldson, is DHing. The second baseman yesterday is Gleyber Torres, who botched a double play ground ball that would have kept the game at 3-3. He doesn't get an error on it because you can't assume a double play, but he mishandled the perfect throw from LeMahieu. So again, your better third baseman is the DH. Your better second baseman is the third baseman. And there's Gleyber Torres over at second. Today they changed that, and Gleyber is the DH, and LeMahieu is the second baseman. I just think in the early going, this lineup has the square peg and a round hole feel to it. You're always making some kind of concession either to rest or playing a guy who's not as good defensively as the other guy. Those are things that concern me right now. The bullpen has been stout. I have no concern about that. I think the starting pitching has been okay. The offense, not hitting with runners in scoring position. We saw Rizzo hit his third home run yesterday. Judge hit his first home run. All good there. But these little things are concerning to me. And I think that they're going to have to be worked out. I think at some point, the 9 guys for 8 positions, it has to change.
Well, because right now, Aaron Boone, and we're going to talk to him coming up at 4 today, that he's being very democratic about it. know, giving everybody their fair shake. Forget that. What lineup gives you the best chance to win today? And if that means a guy's got to sit multiple times, Michael, then that's tough. Then figure it out. But this whole let's liberally just try to give everybody the day off, try to be fair. I want to see the Yankees have their best lineup on the field. Did they have their best lineup last night to beat the Blue Jays? No, they didn't.
No, they didn't play Stanton.
So that by, and it's game six. I'll give you a comparison to another sport, all right? Like last night the Rangers played the Flyers. And Lafreniere is a kid. He's never played an 82-game schedule before. He got rested, a healthy scratch. Yeah, when was he a healthy scratch? Second game of back-to-backs against the Flyer team that stinks and half their roster was out. Right. So he strategically left Lafreniere on a game the Rangers knew they were going to win. He didn't take him out of the lineup the night before against Carolina when they're battling for first place. So give guys a break. You got a weekend series against Baltimore. Rest guys then. You got Detroit coming up. You got Cleveland coming up. Non-divisional opponents that you're way better than. Don't sit there and rest guys in game six against the team you're battling with for first place. I know it's only April, but you only have 19 times to beat this team. God knows what your lineup's going to look like when you go up to Toronto on May 5th. Put the best lineup on the field to win the game, and then you rest when you get a chance to rest. And believe me, there's plenty of crap teams in baseball where you can rest the whole lineup and win.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about how good the Blue Jays are, right? Stanton didn't need to rest yesterday. Now, he came off the bench and almost delivered a very dramatic pinch-hit home run. I mean, everybody in the world thought it was out, but he's got to get four at-bats in that game. I'm sorry. He does. The whole rotational thing, it's almost forcing Aaron to rest people. Maybe that's what they want to do. But not against the Blue Jays. As Don said, you're playing the dreadful Orioles over the weekend. Rest them then.
Yep.
That only makes sense. And nobody's pulling the fire alarm here. 3-3, it's all well and good. What's the big deal? It's six games. But this, I don't want to say I told you so, everybody, but I told you so. This is going to be a thing. 9-8 doesn't fit. Any kind of math class you went to, it doesn't fit. And it's not like the ninth guy is Marwin Gonzalez, who accepts his fate as a backup guy. That ninth guy expects to play. So today, that ninth guy is Aaron Hicks. And if Don, maybe you have a better memory than me. Game seven, I think this is the second time that Hicks hasn't started.
Right.
And he's actually hit. So a ball player needs two out of seven games off?
Well, because, again, it's just spitting out stats. Whatever the number is, we can ask Aaron, that they only want to play 140 games. So let's just say there's 22 days you have to have off. So they probably sprinkle them around, and because the Yankees are being democratic about it, trying to sprinkle it around equally, so if they don't make a trade, if nobody gets hurt, then everybody ends up missing their 22 games, or whatever number it happens to be. Well, I guess in the analytic world, Michael, every game is the same, and every game has the same value over 162. What are we trying to get to? We're trying to get to 100 wins. This is how many it's going to take to win the division, so let's do it. But I just think in April, when these guys are fresh and they're hot, then this is when you want to take advantage. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to rest these guys. There's going to be times where they're going to be dragging and they're going to want off. There's going to be times they're 0 for their last 15 and you're going to want to give them off.
Now, getting a lot of pushback on Twitter, Yankee boy defending Gerrit Cole. It's funny. The people that are watching the game, they're just looking at outcome, which is what you get paid for. I understand what Don's saying, too. But when I'm sitting next to a five-time champion and a Cy Young Award winner, and David Cone thinks that Gerrit Cole pitched very well yesterday, you don't know what you're looking at, people. So you expect him every single time to pitch a shutout. So you're equating his salary to that's how he should perform. His salary is what somebody gave him. Sorry, Yankee said he's worth $36 million a year for 9 years. Now, you want him to pitch to that level, and in the first year he did, and everybody's going to bring up the game against the Red Sox where he was terrible last year. Two innings he didn't last, the Yankees got eliminated. How about the year before when he pitched great in the playoffs? So that's forgotten. And I'm not here to defend Gerrit Cole. He's a big boy. He can defend himself. But if you watch the game and actually know what you're watching and your eyes are not bugging out of your head because he's not throwing a perfect game, he pitched very well yesterday. He located his pitches. He threw 99 miles an hour. His arm is fine. He's going to be fine. And then the pushback. He's not supposed to be fine at $36 million. He's supposed to be great. Well, that's what he's working toward. It's early in the season. Max Scherzer makes $43 million. He hasn't been great yet. He's been good enough.
Yeah, but he's been better than Cole.
Yeah, he's been better.
His average is 3.27. Cole's is 5.59.
Yep.
Now, listen, the Blue Jays are better than the Phillies and the Nationals. I get that. But, the thing is, Michael, there's not a Yankee fan doesn't care if he wins the Cy Young. They don't care if he wins the title for the best earner on average. Doesn't care if he ends up being the MVP of the league. What they care about is that the Yankees win the games that he pitches. Now, the analytic world doesn't care about W's. They care about the stats that you're throwing out. That's great. You know what? A Yankee fan saying if he goes out there and pitches the game of his life and they lose, as opposed to him like toughing it out and not having a great outing and they win, they'll take the win.
But
1-1 in the games that he's pitched.
But I spit on the stats. I'm going to trust my eyes. He pitched really well yesterday. He had nasty stuff.
Right.
He got victimized by a guy who had an otherworldly game.
Listen, you're not wrong, but I don't think the fans are wrong either. Like, what did the fans say? They didn't care that he finished second in the Cy Young Award last year.
But you know what?
They cared about the fact that he lost the game against the Red Sox.
And that's what you should care about. As you're right, they pay him to win that game. But I just love the periodic use of the Yankee boy stuff. So criticizing playing people out of position, then I'm not Yankee boy, but you don't mention that. The fact that I actually thought that Gerrit Cole pitched well yesterday, that makes me Yankee boy. So it's funny, I can't win. And I don't know why it still bothers me because I'm fighting. I feel like Sisyphus. I'm pushing a rock up a hill. It's going to come rolling back down. I can't win. If you don't like, here's a clue, everybody. If you think I'm Yankee boy and that I'm gonna whitewash everything in favor of the Yankees, get close to the speaker, everybody. Don't listen. If you think that I'm a fraud, don't listen. Because if you listen to a fraud, then you're a fraud. I'm telling you the truth as I see it. They're 2-for-34 in the bottom of the order. It's a National League lineup over the first six games. That's not a Yankee boy thing. They played people out of position yesterday. That's not a Yankee boy thing. They shouldn't be resting Giancarlo Stanton in the sixth game of the season. That's not Yankee boy, but you choose to ignore that. Instead, I'm Yankee boy because my eyes and David Cone's eyes tell us that Gerrit Cole actually pitched very well yesterday. Sorry if you don't agree.
Well, I'd like them to still listen because Peter and I can balance things
right
out, I think.
Even if you think Michael's a fraud. Although it is annoying. I mean, we've spent the better part of the last couple of days questioning so many different things about this team. I just don't understand how it's that they're such Yankee boys or Met boys or whatever they are. They're so blinded that they can't hear clearly.
What a great point. And also, Peter, I'm the Yankee announcer in my 31st year. Don, who did I say was going to win the American League East?
The Blue Jays.
Well, how does that make me a Yankee boy, you bunch of Cheeto dust finger idiots?
Well, because that's just the de facto thing. If anything, you're a Cole boy. You're defending Cole. What does this have to do with the Yankees when you're killing the lineup? You've predicted the Blue Jays to win the division. Michael, chapter and verse, you've proven you're not Yankee boy, so don't worry about it. That's just something they throw out. It's like your mother. Like, people don't mean that. It's just something offensive to say to tick you off.
And it works with you. every time.
Shaylin Rivera asked me if we could give a shout-out to her grandmother, Alice. Today's Alice's birthday. She loves TMKS. She watches the show with her every day. Alice, happy birthday, my friend. Thank you for watching.
Happy Alice. Birthday.
We love you, Alice. We've never even met you, but we know we love you.
Say what you say, Michael.
May you live as long as you want, but never have to want as long as you live.
Wow, beautiful.
Yankee boy.
Sincerely, Yankee boy.
Can we change the name of the show to Yankee boy? Would you guys care?
Yes, very much so.
Well, listen, if it makes you feel better.
Yeah, that Michael, just last night, didn't it?
Michael, wait, by the way, did it play last night or no?
What?
Did it play?
Yesterday did not.
Did not play.
No.
Okay. All right. Interesting. That's good. Also, when we come back, I've heard that Dave Rothenberg has said things about me today that may send me over the ledge.
But I heard it's not just you. He was an equal opportunity offender today.
Yeah, but I'm hearing he really came after me personally.
Yeah, he doesn't like you.
So that's
the sense I got, that this got personal.
There's something deep there. So we'll deal with that.
All right, so let's take a brief time out. This is going to be a fun show. I could feel it. It's in my bones. I really do feel it. So let's towel off. Yankee boy will peel off his pinstripes, and we're good to go. I like Coalboy. I'm going to be that, Don. I could be my new nickname, Coalboy.
There you go.
And if we could actually pronounce it Coleboy.
I don't get it.
Cole, Coleboy. So instead of Coleboy, it sounds weird.
Oh, it's Coleboy.
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 Coleboy. Yeah. All right, you know the number, you know the deal, you know the rules of engagement. We'll talk to Aaron Boone, the Yankee manager, at 4 o'clock. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN. Cheeto dust finger, idiots!
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Final game of the Yankees and the Blue Jays series. A coverage on Yes starts at 6. First pitch right around 7:05, live from Yankee Stadium on Yes. We have two hockey games, Islanders and the Penguins. 6:30 pregame right here on 98.7. 7 o'clock puck drop and the Devils and the Avalanche. That's at 9 p.m. Mets are off today. They have the home opener tomorrow where they will unveil the Tom Seaver statue, which is just to the right of the Apple, which is in the front of the ballpark. And that should be around 10:30. Game time is right around 1. And that's game time brought to you by Telemar Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Telemar Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tele time. Please enjoy responsibly. All right, so yesterday we talked about Alan Hahn and Bart Scott challenging Jay Williams and Keyshawn Johnson a 2-on-2 basketball. And we laughed at the absurdity of the fact that Alan and Bart, who, Bart's a professional athlete, Alan played collegiately, that they think that they could actually beat a guy who was, I guess he was the number one draft pick, right?
He was
second pick
overall
by the Bulls,
pick.
Coming out of Duke. Great player. And then he had that unfortunate motorcycle accident. But obviously he's still a great basketball player, playing against somebody who never played in the NBA. And then Keyshawn's a great athlete who could probably neutralize Bart Scott probably more. And then we took a gratuitous shot and said, we could all beat Dave Rothenberg at everything.
Yeah, and I especially said that. I'll own that.
Yeah, you said that. So here's what he said about you, Donald. Some of this is not nice, so you might want to turn away.
I'm going to calm down. I'm going to get zen here.
Okay. Here's Dave on Don.
I promise you this right now. I swear I will never go to that Sasso again. All right? Last time I went, I brought my kids. I brought my wife. Last time I went, I got 3 at-bats. Rick, what did I do?
3 for 3.
3 for 3. And in my 4th at-bat, I said, my son plays baseball, would love a chance to get an at-bat. Did you think that was a nice thing
no.
to do, or I have no interest in playing thing to do?
No, I thought it was a nice thing to do. The family came to support you at that point. I mean, we're already in like a 45-minute delay because Marty Lyons was...
Marty Lyons is diving headfirst and is now bleeding from the nose and mouth.
With golf shoes on? Yeah, I mean, it got wild.
So I can't win with these guys.
No, there's no winning. Yeah, why even try? Don't even try.
Well, here's what I could beat him in this. I could beat him in that. I could beat him in this. So he says any sport, anything active, he can beat me in. So it is my choice of what we're going to play in?
Yeah, anything.
All right. So I don't know, because I'll name something, then I'll be like, that's not a real sport. That's not legit. Is pickleball an option here?
Pickleball's big right now.
So
I was watching some pickleball the other day. It's right up your alley.
I'm excellent because there's not a ton of running and it's all about the racket, and I'm excellent with that. So I'd like to throw pickleball. Ping pong, he would have no chance. And ping pong's an Olympic sport.
Yeah, I mean, there's no argument against that.
So
none.
Ping pong, let's go.
So okay. that was his, imagine, Don, to bring up a charitable endeavor that you do. That's how he's going to get back at you.
I'm telling you, again, we can't prove this because it's all just tone and body language. That was not, hey, can Ben get an at-bat? He loves it. He was sitting there huffing and puffing. Can Ben just hit? I just don't want to hit anymore. It was not interesting, and that's fine. He went 3-for-3 in slow pitch softball in a little league field. Okay, it's nothing to write home about. He's not Vlad Guerrero Jr.
No, no. You, by the way, you can only have a conversation if you hit a home run. And by the way, there are 19 home runs hit a game. Okay, so let's just all relax.
All right,
of course, hit a monster.
Now he attacks me and Peter. Ready, Peter?
I guess.
Hey, you know what I'd like to do with K? I'd like to do boxing with K.
Oh, I would. I like to see that.
Because every shot I take, I hit the head. Right? I can close my eyes like a pinata. Close my eyes and swing. I'm going to hit the head.
No, it's not a big head. It's more the length, and it's not a big head. It doesn't have a huge head.
Okay.
Don't be nasty to K.
Why? They're nasty to me.
This is your boy, Don. Well, because you know K. K doesn't love you the way I love you. But Don is supposed to be your guy. Like, I don't know what Peter loves.
Peter loves himself. That's it. Peter is clearly, without fail, the most selfish person at the station. I don't even think it's up for debate.
No, I think that's a safe bet.
Like, I have a birthday. Michael, happy birthday. Don, happy birthday. You, happy birthday. Maybe sent me a present. Maybe not. I don't know. But RJ, happy birthday. Raymond, everyone, happy birthday, Dave. Hope it's a great day. Henrik Lundqvist, Dave, happy birthday. He makes sure to get that out there. If any rapper has a birthday, Peter's on Twitter. Happy birthday, Big Slur. You're just amazing. I mean, you're as good as it gets out there. I have a birthday. Not a word. So
lift
Peter's
it up
a fraud.
And show it to me.
Peter's an absolute fraud.
Wow.
First of all, Big Slur is not an actual artist. Second of all, what do you say, Michael? I mean,
first of all, I would box his ears. He'd be knocked out in 30 seconds. It would be Marvis Frazier against Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah, when he crumpled. He fell asleep in standing up.
Right. Or maybe Spinks. It would be done in 90 seconds. Finally, he continues his attack on this show.
The troubling one is Don, though. I mean, he's supposed to be you guys' break. But I hear it all the time. Like, we break bread. Dave's the best pound for pound.
I love Don. Don doesn't like me. Don takes continuous shots. I don't know why.
Tweet
I don't know
why. Said you had no heart.
How dare he? I got more heart than anybody.
That's who
I
you
might
are.
Be limited athletically, but I got more heart.
I haven't gotten into a fight since I was 12. It's Don.
What's your identity? You're all heart.
I would challenge. I have the biggest heart at the station.
Yes. Well, no, just hopefully Carlin does. Otherwise, he's in trouble.
But he's almost not at the station.
Well, he's kind of at the station.
Well, kind of, sort of.
How hard that thing's working?
But you know what? Here's how I see it. And you tell me if you think I'm right or not. They're obsessed with me. They're obsessed.
It seems like you're a topic of conversation quite a bit, yeah.
Because they can't. And where did that even come from yesterday? I said nothing. Like, if I take shots and they need to respond, fine. I said nothing to them.
Somebody's hurt. Mwah.
Oh, and I never said, I mean, listen, he's got a big heart. He's a good guy. I'm just saying that he does. His heart would not be in the competition the way it is with me.
I mean, how about the shot that Rick took at Carlin for no reason?
That wasn't. Well, it was accurate, but it's just not a nice thing to say, to point it out. Take the guy aside. Talk to him.
Now, Andrew just wrote me on the side and said, does Dave wish you a happy birthday? I just pulled up our chat and scrolled back. It's not like I hear from the guy very often, so it took me 30 seconds to get back to my birthday last summer. He did. At 10:43 a.m. He wrote, "Yo, happy birthday, brother."
No, he's a good guy.
I don't know when Dave's birthday is.
You know what? But you are selfish. Anyway, let's take a brief timeout. We've got Aaron Boone coming up, his regular spot here on the Michael Kay Show. So stick around for that right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go to the phones. Steve in Long Island. Steven?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just wanted to bring up the fact that Corey Kluber pitched a no-hitter last year. And pitched a complete game and then was out for 4 months from May to September. I mean,
right. You don't know, you know if it's one led to the other, right. But it's reasonable to think that.
But, yeah, but I said, like, they protected Jabba and Jabba still got hurt.
Yeah, listen, there seems to be no rhyme or reason to who stays healthy and who gets hurt.
Right.
But I've heard people moaning about Clayton Kershaw, and Corey Kluber popped into my mind right away as somebody that was allowed to pitch the complete game. And
you know what? That's fair. That is absolutely fair. But Don, I don't know if you agree. I think you might agree with me, but on principle. But I think the fan and you, I think they did the right thing with Kershaw. I don't think you could let him go for it.
No, they did the right thing. But it's just frustrating that this is considered the right thing. You know, if this was 30 years ago, he pitches the perfect game. And maybe we'd find out later he got hurt. Maybe we wouldn't. Michael, there was a time in baseball where you played every day unless you were hurt. You might get, if you were older, you'd get the day off a day game after a night game. Maybe you wouldn't play the second game of the doubleheader. Maybe after you clinched, like all the starters wouldn't play because you expanded the roster. Now everything has changed to the point now where they're telling you the season's too long. Can't do it. Can't happen, Peter. 162 games, can't do it. 82 games of basketball, can't be done. But they'll never think of shortening the season because they'd lose revenue. But part right. of being a league is to entertain your fans. And I'm sorry, it stinks that Clayton Kershaw can't pitch a perfect game. It stinks that you go to the ballpark and your favorite player isn't playing. Not because he's hurt, but because, Peter, we don't want him playing 6-7 days in a row.
No,
you know. And listen, I'm not going to compare it to Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken was a freak. I'm not comparing it to Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan was a freak. But if Michael, if you're telling me you can't play 162 games.
Then why are we playing 162 games?
Why are we playing 162?
So here's the question I have. Michael, do pitchers generally, when something bad goes on, is it generally or always it just happens on a pitch out of nowhere? Or the point is, wouldn't he be capable of going out there, and if he starts to feel it's really like I don't know what it's like to have a serious arm injury, but I do remember when your arm starts humming, and you're like, all right, I can't throw anymore. Are they worried that in one pitch it's going to be over?
That's usually the way it works, but they believe that the usage leading up to that one pitch where the UCL snaps is because that leads to that. But it is usually just on one pitch. But even right before the one pitch, you feel something, and then they think, well, that's something, and they, you know, it's nothing, but it's just the arm feeling weird because it's not a normal motion. Then they throw another one, and it snaps. So it's not an exact science, although right. It's science.
Right.
Peter, you buy a Lamborghini, and you don't race at 100 miles per hour. You stay at the speed limit because you don't want to get into an accident. Like, then why you have a Lamborghini? Go out and buy a Datsun.
Well, now, how about this? I'll take it a step further. You have a Lamborghini. And you don't want to overdo it because either you don't want to get an accident or you're worried that it's such a fancy car. The last thing you want to do is mess up the transmission, blah, blah. All right, but now you're in a high-speed chase. Let's hit six here and turn this thing up and go 140. That's what it's there for. This was an opportunity where, like, if you've been doing this your whole life, to enter the record books on that level, the 24th player in over 200,000 games, it's – to me, it's just so crazy that they wouldn't all come together and say, hey, this isn't nothing. This is a worthwhile – let's weigh out risk versus reward. This is a pretty important moment career-wise to go for.
For those younger listeners, and we do have young listeners, let me be the translator for Don. Don mentioned Datsun. That has become Nissan. There used to be a car company called Datsun,
which is
now Nissan.
I just thought Datsun kind of hammered the point home.
Oh, I get
better
it.
Than Nissan, because Nissan, they make a nice car now. I mean, they really, they could sport it up with the best of them.
Let me throw something at you, Don, about because you would like Kershaw to have finished the game. But people learn from history, and if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And you brought this up yesterday. You know, Johan Santana was pushed well beyond where the – and Terry Collins said he agonized over it. He should not have thrown that many pitches. And his career essentially was sacrificed to the baseball gods so that the Met organization could have a no-hitter, which they'd never had before.
But
that was not the responsible thing to do for Santana, Don.
No, understood. But Santana was on board, all right? He wasn't forced to do anything he didn't want to do. And we're talking 135 pitches.
But the guy had shoulder problems, Don.
But I know, but he threw 135 pitches. It ended up being ridiculous at that particular time. We're talking about a guy, they're limiting his pitches, but nobody knows exactly what's the number. Again, it's that analytics of this is the number of pitches we believe he should be able to throw at this stage of the season and his history and all that. But it's still kind of a guess. And part of athletics, Michael, is the reason that we watch these guys, we pay to watch them play, is because they can't do what we do. And they stretch the limits of what human bodies can do. and that makes them special. Now, I'm not asking them to go out there and kill themselves or ruin their careers, but part of what makes Clayton Kershaw special is that he will exceed the limits, push the limits, go as far as you can. I mean, that's what makes that's athleticism. That's sports. And are we going to fine-tune it now where, you know, a running back's breaking away and he's going to slow down because if he goes too fast trying to get that 90-yard touchdown, he might not be able to last a week 17. No, you push yourself.
Yeah, I think you're wrong on this one. I mean, because Kershaw missed most of the season last year with an injury, hardly threw in spring training, I think it would be irresponsible to let him go for it. You just can't. If it's a young pitcher like Jordan Montgomery, and he's at 80 pitches through seven innings with a perfect game, I think you let him go.
Not Clayton Kershaw. But like what Torrey said, if I have you pitch the eighth inning, you got to pitch the ninth. Well, nobody's saying you got to do anything. But at 80 pitches, he couldn't start the eighth just to see. Maybe he has a quick inning, and then you can kind of evaluate. Like, I don't – listen, they did the right thing. So I'm not going to hammer Dave Roberts. I'm not going to hammer Kershaw. He seemed to be on board. I'm just saying we're really taking the fun out of sports by seeing these guys limit themselves. And you know what I'm saying, Peter? It kind of takes away from the fun of it, of what these athletes are able to do, the greatest at, like to be able to watch these guys just do what can't be done, to defy the odds. That's what makes it so much fun. It shouldn't be that clinical.
Donna, I want you to write down a date for me, okay? Because I think it's going to be an important date for you. April 21st. Peter, you should also take note.
April 21st. Okay.
Because WCBS News Radio is reporting New Jersey will start recreational marijuana sales on April 21st. So your whole world's opening up, Don.
I'm good.
What do you mean you're good?
No, I don't. I have no desire to smoke marijuana.
None.
Really? None?
No, I'm good. I tried it back in 1984.
But you and also like mescaline.
Right.
Well, that's just rumor. I've dropped acid. I've taken mescaline.
Oh, my God.
That's just hearsay.
Now,
I was the one that say, but it was still hearsay.
Still hearsay. Now, but you have no – is there a situation? The kids are taken care of. They're with
you
family.
Dig?
They're with Dave. I don't know if that's something you'd actually do on a Saturday night.
Of course.
But, all right, so Dave's watching the kids. You and Nancy are in the backyard. You just cooked up some burgers. It's 80 degrees. It's gorgeous out. You're getting ready to eat the burger. You're not going to put salt on it after it's cooked because you're not a freak.
And you're definitely going to roast the bun too because you don't want that raw.
Well, I love a little Don. You love a toasted bun, right?
Oh, on a hamburger?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yes, you toast
it. I put it right on the grill there. When the burgers are done, you throw it on the grill for a minute.
Just a minute.
That's nice.
So you throw a little ketchup on there. You're ready to eat it. And Nancy says, Don, you want to hit this boubange? And she has like a little pen. It's not even smoky. She says a little pen you pull on. You would never have an interest again?
No. Even like if it was an edible. Like just they brought out brownies and we just all sat around after we ate those delicious burgers and just had a brownie and relaxed in the backyard with friends. I'm good. I can relax. I don't need any kind of stimulant at all.
I don't even get drunk, really.
I'll drink beer, but I've never
seen you feel a drink ever.
Let me throw this at you. You didn't ask me, but let's say that same scenario is taking place.
Right.
And Jody offers me some boubange.
Well, you say, hold on one second, Joe. I got to put the salt on the burger.
No. I'd say, hold on one second, and I'd get my lawyer on the phone, and that would be it.
Wow. Wait. Oh, so wait. You'd be sending her to jail, divorcing her, or both?
No. It would obviously be heading toward a split because we wouldn't be of the same mindset anymore.
So if she told you she now wanted to partake in boubange, you would end the marriage?
No, listen, whatever she does on a free time, she has her own life. But if she tries to bring it into the house or into the backyard, then I think we got to call Mr. Barnes.
You don't want to do it in front of the kids.
In this scenario, you know, Michael's sister has the kids.
Do you think, honestly, Peter, if you called the police saying my neighbor's smoking marijuana, would they even show? Well, I think they do a drive-by and be done. Like, I don't even think they would.
Listen, starting in Jersey on April 21st, they'd say, good. Sounds fun. Can I join?
Wow. Drugs must be great.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. Towel off. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Aaron Boone.
What goes into determining who's going to get the night off?
I'm doing more mapping it out ahead of time as best I can. And then, look, baseball changes every day, but I'm roughly looking at the week ahead and, okay, who are we facing? When do I feel like I want to, in this first section of the season where we have 10 in a row, where I'm probably going to want to get at least everyone a day in there. All right, what makes the most sense to have this guy in there, and what's the best day to have that guy out of there based on a matchup, based on maybe who's pitching for us, who's obviously pitching for the other team, and just trying to, as best I can, do it that way.
The Michael K. Show.
That pregnant whale is right in my ear.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so interesting stuff from Aaron Boone as we start the 5 o'clock hour.
That might be one of the best spots we've ever done with a coach/manager for a weekly. I mean, we had him on for a long time. It wasn't, like, contentious, but it was a really good back and forth. You know, I didn't feel his answers were canned or just, regurgitating information that he had. I thought he was pretty genuine and thoughtful in his answers. I enjoyed that interview. I don't agree with everything that he said, but I didn't feel like I got canned answers. Did you?
No,
he was reading from a script like some of these coaches and managers do. I mean, I thought he was pretty genuine. Again, you may not agree with his decisions or the analytics and all that, but I thought his answers were thoughtful.
You know what I was surprised at? I don't know if you guys felt the same way, that he would actually have entertained keeping Gerrit Cole in the game at 80 pitches in a perfect game after 7 innings. That surprised me. That really, really did, because, you know, 85 pitches yesterday and you know, Aaron was sweating it. You know, he took him out with one out in the 6th inning. So you mean to tell me that if he was pitching a perfect game through 7 innings and at 80 pitches, he's got, listen, even if he's unbelievably economical, he's going to throw at least 20 pitches more over 2 innings, probably 30 to take him to 110, which would have been his last spring training start. That was a surprise to me that Aaron said that he actually would have considered keeping him in.
I just think the way it works, Mike Kruko brings this up during the Giant broadcast. That
Kruk.
Typically, what you consider a solid inning is 15 pitches.
Right.
Right? So, but that doesn't mean you can't throw more, and it doesn't mean you can't throw less. What I'm saying is that if 80 is the end-all, be-all, it's a different story. But if there's some wiggle room, could you bring him out in the 8th inning? Peter suggested this yesterday, of just to see. Maybe it's 6-0 at that point, right? It's a getaway day. So Minnesota might be swinging at the first pitch, and maybe you get out of the 8th inning with 5 or 6 pitches. And then at least you can kind of sit down and consider, all right, let's see what you can do. Because this whole, you know, Joe Torre, like, I have to keep you in. You don't have to do anything. But at least give it a shot. Let him start the 8th inning and see. And you can see, first batter, it's a 10-pitch at bat. And you're like, all right, this is not going to happen. So even if you strike him, I'm going to take you out because this is ridiculous now. There's no way. But at least give it a shot.
I would agree with you if it was July, and I think they did that with Kluber, and they also did that with Cole. I think he had him throw 129 pitches in that great game that he had against the Astros. midseason, but not the first start, not even the second start. I mean, these guys are the commodities. That's why Max Scherzer gets $43.5 million to pitch. You can't lose them. You can't lose, and when you lose them, there's no replacing them.
Then fine, but again, we make this 80 pitch count as if it's like solid, like it's some sort of a drug. Like we know that if you get to 81, this is going to happen.
But Don, you could fluctuate five, but not 25.
But in a game that was 3-0 through six, why even pitch him in the seventh then? Maybe you get away with him only throwing 65 or 70 pitches. If you know, Michael, there's no way he's pitching nine. There's just no way. Then why even stretch it to 80?
Because you want to. Your job is twofold in this. You want to win the game, and you want to stretch him out to what he needs to be. You got to get him to 100 pitches. So next time he pitches, he goes to 95 because you go up in increments of 15. So, yeah, of course you stretch, but you can't stretch. Man. If they felt comfortable with him at 70 and then they pushed him the extra 10 and then you're going to push him another 25. We've heard Terry Collins. He cried about what happened with Santana. He was so distressed about it. Santana was never the same after that. And I see people on Twitter saying, we want to be entertained. Well, I mean, you don't see stars for the most part except for Tom Cruise doing – their stunts in the movies, you know, would it be entertaining if they broke their leg on camera?
But a professional does it. But it's just funny to me, Michael. If this was always the way it was, well, then that's a different story.
But they were indentured servants before, Don. They had to play through injuries. There was no union. Now it's smarter.
I'm not going back to the 50s and 60s, Michael. I'm going back 20 years ago. I mean, the union and the players have not been in that situation since, like, before Curt Flood, okay? So since Marvin Miller came in and really since the 72 strike and when free agency became prominent, I mean, these players have had – gradually they've gotten more and more control and have way more control now than they did back in the day. But this is not, you know, the 50s and 60s where you had no say. And I'm just going back to the last – even before that. This is all relatively new. Like, the Jobber Rules was the first time we started hearing about, like, pitch limits and all that. And what was that, 10 years ago? 15 years ago?
You're right. It's an inexact science, but they're guessing with information.
Right. And DeGrom is out again. You know, and so they're guessing with information, but they're wrong just as much as they're right. As much as they're right about, all right, don't throw any more than 80 pitches because he can get hurt. There's a very good possibility that he's still going to end up getting hurt. And then it should have been 60 or it should have been 50 or he shouldn't start at all. Just have extended spring training and have Kershaw start the season on May 5th.
But why don't you take a look? I mean, maybe Andrew or Anthony Greek can do this. How many starting pitchers in their first start went seven innings? Kershaw might be the only one.
No, again, I'm not killing Dave Roberts. I'm just killing the whole system of baseball where it just seems like we've got to treat – it used to be that, all right, let's treat the injuries. Now we're trying to prevent the injuries. And it feels like we're going way out of our way to prevent the injuries, and yet the injuries still happen. Like, well, what do we complain about when DeGrom got hurt? Isn't it ridiculous that we can't keep any of these pitchers healthy? And this is during a time when we're wrapping them in bubble wrap. Meanwhile, we grew up with guys throwing 200 pitches, and they never got hurt. And they made 35 starts. They threw 300 innings, and now guys don't even get to 200 innings, and they're getting hurt way more than they did before. Well, so we don't even know if this works.
We don't know if it works, but I mean, it's erring on the side of caution. Also, the price of a really good pitcher is extraordinarily high. You got to protect them. They're the diamond of the 26 now 28 man roster.
And that's another conversation too. Like, are these pitchers worth the money they're being paid? Because at the end of the day, how much of an effect do they sometimes have on the outcome of these games? Like you mentioned, Scherzer's been okay, not great. The Mets are 2-0. Then you get some pitchers that are great, and they're 0-2 because the bullpen blows it. You know, so I'd rather pay the guy that's getting four at-bats and playing 140, 150 games a year than a guy that's making 30 starts and can pitch great and still not result in a win at the end of the day.
You know,
like, does that sound logical to you? They get hurt more than anybody else. They don't have – it doesn't seem like they affect the games because they don't go deep into games. So I'm paying a guy $30 million a year to pitch six innings, and there's now nine other opportunities with sometimes four other pitchers that are going to decide the game at the end of the day.
here's where they earn their living in the big games. And that's why everybody was disappointed with Cole against the Red Sox. Those are the guys that step up in the big games and have big games. That's where they earn their living. I mean, Nestor Cortez doesn't make any money. And he was one of the Yankees' most reliable starters. But he wasn't starting that wild card game. They were giving it to the guy who's paid to do that.
But that's what's just so funny, Michael. Guys that don't make a fifth of what Cole makes were able to retire Guerrero. And then Guerrero has that night. And again, I'm not blaming Cole. It's just that's how crazy this is. You're paying all the – like, they didn't even think about giving Cole 9 years. Didn't even care about the money because that was the one thing that they needed. That's why the fans are getting on Cole, because the one thing he was brought here for, he didn't perform in that wild card game. But you know what? If Cole had to – if the Yankees didn't win that game against the Rays and then Cole had to pitch in game 163 to decide if they go to the playoffs, then guess what? He won't be available for the wild card game. But the everyday player could be available for every game. And yet we're paying all the money to the guys that always get hurt and literally have an effect on 30 of the 162 games that are played.
And that probably went into the thinking of Aaron Judge wanting the money that he wanted. I play every day, or at least I try, and a great pitcher, at the most will get 31 starts. So it's a tough call, but they are valuable when they're great, and when they perform, they're probably underpaid. But they do get hurt a lot. And it's a different world than it was when Whitey Ford pitched with a bad arm. Because there was no Tommy John. You can't tell me that it started with the Tommy John, that you started tearing the UCL ligament. It probably happened to Christy Mathewson and Walter Johnson. They pitched through it. And probably felt it for the remainder of their days.
And listen, do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying these guys should pitch through rotator cuffs and deny surgery. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the whole idea of trying to avoid getting hurt in the first place. Listen, I can't get into a car accident, Michael, if I never get into a car. Yeah, and sure, there's less of a chance of me getting into a car accident the less miles I drive. But that doesn't necessarily mean if I drive more that I'm going to get into an accident. But they just seem to see, like, let's reduce the number, reduce the injury. Well, show me how it's working out.
Another thing that Aaron said that surprised me, and you could get the entire interview on the podcast, but I wonder if you guys were surprised by this. He would not have had that guy bunt in the bottom of the sixth inning up 11-2. Now, think about that. There's still three more innings to make up a 9-run deficit in a sport where runs are scored in bunches. And I think I understand why Aaron would feel like that. Aaron's grandfather played in the big leagues, his father played in the big leagues, his brother. He has a lineage dating back to the 40s with Ray Boone. And, you know, there's a certain way that those guys played the game. I really believe that has to change. Now, that to me is the entertainment value. People are paying good money to come see a game. You don't want them to pull the plug on an 11-2 game. Keep scoring. And as you always say, Don, if you don't like it, stop them from scoring. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Kapler's just been – and I know Andrew is going to disagree because he was an embarrassment in Philadelphia. He wasn't ready. Now he's become one of the best managers in baseball, and I love his attitude. So I'm going to play the game. Why do I have to worry about you, right? I'm only going to worry about me. And Aaron answered his own question, Michael, where he said, you know, all these games are connected. So that was game two of a three-game series. They had a day game the next day. So if I can get you to go deeper into your bullpen, then that's going to affect you the next day. Right. So, yeah, it's 11-2. I'm supposed to call off the dogs, and then that way your pitchers, you don't have to go deeper into your bullpen and actually help you beat me the next day. Does that make sense?
No, it's weird.
It's not football where you get a week to rest off. They got a day game the next day. So you know what? If I got to go make a couple of pitching changes, and now I don't have that pitcher available tomorrow when it's a 2-1 game,
now,
that decision might affect the rest of the series.
Put a bow on this, all right? Here's the deal. Aaron feels that way, and I don't say he's wrong for feeling that way, because he's old school. But he might be the most new age manager that we have. So it's almost like you're half pregnant. Are you going into this analytic age where, you know, we're looking at things differently? Everybody has to rest. But not bunting at 11-2? Is the days when the guys play 162 games a year.
This is how they want to play baseball. But you mentioned it, Michael. Is Boone different because of he's a third-generation baseball guy?
Well, I think the older – like, who's the guy who complained? Bob Melvin. He's been around forever. He's in his 60s. Would Dave Roberts feel the same way? I don't know. Gabe Kapler is a new age manager. It's just weird, and entertainment does come into play. But I said, it's always at loggerheads. Entertainment, but what's the best way to win? And a lot of managers don't like a bunt like that because the next guy could get thrown at. Again, Neanderthal thinking in a sport that has moved into the analytic age. It just doesn't make sense.
But just think about how babyish that is. Don't beat me too bad. Come on. Then let's walk off the field.
Now,
if a manager feels that way, then you know what? You should have a forfeit rule. Like, listen, if I'm not going to let you throw you, then I'll just walk off the field. You win.
It's so strange. In Little League, yeah, you shouldn't rub it in. Amateurs, you shouldn't rub it in. But once you start to get paid, stop me from rubbing it in. Stop me.
I mean, but then, at the same time, I'm allowed to then be immature and do whatever we're going to do, whatever
right.
we see fit, because we have all these unwritten rules. So I agree with you. I think you should be able to do it. It's not an amateur game. You shouldn't manage like they're 12 years old playing rec ball. But at the same time, with these grown men, if you offend them, as stupid as it is, there are going to be repercussions for it.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Bob in West Orange. Bob.
Hey, guys. I wanted to chime in on the Kershaw debate that you were saying earlier.
Okay.
The point that I want to make here is, and Michael, you know, I would agree with you and quite frankly what they did if this was a young pitcher in the earlier part of their career or quite frankly maybe even in the middle of the career. But what I have a problem with is that Kershaw has done quite frankly the most you could do as a starting pitcher, a sheer lock for the Hall of Fame. And I would love for him to get the option to if he would finish the game or not. Because I would argue the only thing that could improve his resume greatly would be a perfect game. And just to see him get robbed of that, you know, was just pretty disheartening as a pretty long baseball fan here. I would have just loved for him to get the option because, to me, like I said, the only thing that could have, you know, propelled his career even more would be the perfect game.
I mean, with all due respect, Bob, I think that's being dramatic. I mean, I love Dallas Braden. I love him. He's an announcer with the A's. He pitched a perfect game. Is he one of the greats? No. Tom Browning pitched a perfect game. Is he one of the greats? No, he's not. So, I mean, that's Clayton Kershaw cannot have a shinier plaque in Cooperstown 5 years after he retires. He doesn't need that perfect game. And it also seems he was asked before the game, how many pitches can you throw? And he said 80, tops. He said that. In an interview before the game, 80 tops. You think the guy wants to retire at the age of 34? The guy was shut down last year with a bad hip and a bad arm and didn't pitch hardly at all in an abbreviated spring training. Oh, and let's entertain everybody and have him go for a perfect game. If he was cool with it, then we should all be cool with it. He doesn't need that for his resume. Let's go to Brian in the Bronx.
Hello?
Hello, Brian.
Yeah, so I'm calling regarding the Clayton Kershaw situation. I think that as a fan, you know, you want to see the guy go for the perfect game. The season just started. I don't want to hear any excuses that they're saving his arm for October. I mean, the guy's making a lot of money. You got the casual fan want to see it. And I think they robbed the fans. The fans got robbed.
First of all, not saving him for October. They're saving him. They're saving him. Fans got robbed. Don, you always say this kind of half-jokingly. This is out of the playbook of entertain me clowns. No matter if you get hurt or not, just entertain me.
Entertain me clowns.
Listen, the only thing I'll argue is I would love to see him start the eighth. But you know what? You can be mad at something and not somebody. Like, I'm mad I didn't get a chance to see it, but I'm not mad at Kershaw, and I'm not mad at Roberts. Just one of those things that stink. Like, I brought it up with Aaron. The right thing happened, but it still stinks. I think we can all agree with that. But we live in a world now where we need to blame someone. And I don't want to get to how much money Kershaw makes. Yeah, he makes a lot of money, but he also has to think about his body, and he wants to try to see if he can get another contract. He only signed a one-year contract with the Dodgers. So,
and almost retired because he was unsure about his health.
Right, and he may end up retire here. I mean, that's the thing is that he could still end up getting hurt, and who knows? So I can't begrudge him. a chance to get another payday and want to be around for, you don't think another World Series isn't going to, you know, shine up his plaque for Cooperstown as well as a perfect game could? And I understand, you know, Roberts has got bigger fish to fry. He's trying to win a championship. But at the same time, I can understand a fan being mad. But what I can't understand is being mad at the Dodgers or Kershaw. No, just mad at the situation that we have, the situation that we're in. And that's just what the way they decided to play baseball now. I don't know when it changed, but it's changed.
This is it.
So Anthony Greek got me these stats that we asked for. These are the guys who pitched seven innings first week. Herman Marquez of Colorado, seven innings. Kyle Gibson of Philadelphia, seven innings. Sean Manaea of San Diego, seven innings. Robbie Ray of Seattle, seven innings. Nobody pitched in the eighth. No one. But you want a guy who missed most of last year with injuries and a guy who was contemplating retirement because he didn't know if he could throw, who didn't throw for 3 months during the offseason, and threw a simulated game where he threw like 75 pitches. You want him to go for it so you could be entertained. Come on, man. There's a responsibility aspect to it. That was not the game to do it. His 15th start of the year, yeah, you push him then. Not in this one. It just doesn't make sense. It's not the prudent thing to do.
Would it go as far as being professional malfeasance?
If he pitched him and he got hurt, yes. See. Because Terry Collins, that was professional malfeasance. He succumbed to the Met fans who so desired to see a no-hitter that he let a guy go way more than he should have.
And again, it's so easy to look back at that, Michael, but there's a chance they take him out and he still gets hurt. Because again, it was 135 pitches. So let's say they took him out at 120 or 110. Was that too much? Because maybe he still would have gotten hurt. We don't know.
But if you follow the Joe Torre rule and you took him out after seven, it wouldn't have been in a dangerous territory. They have statistics, as Aaron Boone said, that injuries occur most between this number of pitches and this. I mean, everything's run through a computer, so they're not guessing. And, yeah, it would be malfeasance, Peter.
There you go.
Now, I got to tell you one thing
before
we break. That shirt you're wearing, it's a blue shirt for those that are not watching on Yes, with a little smiley face on the left breast. Thank you. That's my favorite thing that you have. And I once mentioned that to you, and then you had that company send me stuff, and they didn't send me anything that had the smiley face on it. They sent me things that I didn't even know what they were. And I'm appreciative of anything free, but the one shirt I wanted, the one that you have, I never got. I love that shirt.
I'm gonna find it for you right now.
I love it. I don't like it because it's me when I'm at my cheeriest, a happy face.
It's Chinatown Market. It's their thing. That's like their thing.
Yeah, but they didn't send me anything with it like a polo logo or anything like that.
I'm gonna find it for you.
And you know where they came up with the idea for the smiley face, right?
Where's that?
There was a guy that was running across the country, and somebody ran alongside him selling T-shirts. And then a truck went by, and mud went all over his face. And when he wiped the mud off, it had the smiley face. And then the guy running said, "Have a nice day." And that's where the idea came from.
You know, Forrest Gump was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right? I confused. I was right. Yeah. That was the movie Forrest Gump. I'm sorry.
By the way, I didn't remember that part, so I was very into it.
Let's take a brief timeout. Take your phone calls. Talk some about the Nets. Their first game is against Boston on Sunday. And remember, every Net game will be followed by a Yes post-game show either on Yes or the Yes app. And that will happen on Sunday as well. So the Nets are on Yes all year, so you definitely want to hear from the people who covered them. But that's going to be an interesting series. We'll take more phone calls. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Time now to go around the bases, brought to you by Nissan, and we'll go around the bases by talking to you. Let's go to Al in Barnegat. What's up, Al?
I just first-time caller. I just want to say that I think you're beating yourself up too much because you constantly say that you're a Yankee boy. You're just giving the facts, and some people just don't accept them. The only problem I have this year is, like you're saying, the amount of people that are on the roster, playing time. There is such a thing as chemistry in baseball. And when you sit Stan and Ubeo after the first couple of games, I just don't understand it, especially if you're playing against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and if you heard, I know you've been on hold a while, and we thank you for that, Al. But you know, I asked Aaron that, and he said, "I'm not playing Giancarlo Stanton 10 games in a row. I'm just not." So, I mean, it's important to the Yankees that Stanton stays relatively healthy, and they're going to do everything they can. So, you know, Don mentioned this. He used to treat injuries. Well, the Yankees are being preemptive so that people don't get injured. Mm. But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee in anything.
And I was going to follow up with him on that, Michael, where he said, "I'm not going to play him 10 games in a row." Well, you've only played – that was six – it was five in a row.
Right.
But then he's like, well, 10 in a row or 8 in a row or 7. I think he was trying to grasp the number that they had played. But, you know, if your philosophy is I'm not going to have him play 10 games in a row, okay, well, I mean, it would have been 10 in a row with the off day on Monday. So you couldn't give him a day off against Baltimore?
Yeah, it's you a know. Legitimate question. And then Gallo finally gets on track and gets two hits, and he sat down the next day against Lefty. So the thing I don't like is when you map out. Like he said, he maps out in the future what he's going to do in the coming games. But that again falls into that trap of you don't. Analytics for the most part don't believe in hot. They don't. They don't believe in hot. And you know, I've had discussions with the and they're very great. I mean, I've had talks with the Yankee analytics people, and they're great. And you love what they do. They love the team. Give you all of that. But they kind of waffle on that hot thing because they know that it's met really with a lot of negativity. Well, by people that are not in that room. I believe in hot, and the reason I believe in hot is because I talk to players that played the game, and they believe in hot. Alex Rodriguez has told me anybody that doesn't believe in hot or being in the zone, they have never played the game. He said anybody that's played the game has to admit that there are days that you just feel better than other days and you want to keep it rolling, right. And well, it can't be a scheduled off day that you decide this is the day he's going to be off.
How can that even be argued against? Honestly, for anyone – Michael, it's, Alex said it shows you didn't play the sport. Shows you don't watch the sport. Can you guys explain Rory McIlroy last Sunday?
Here's what they say. Here's what they say. How do you know it wouldn't happen anyway?
No, but that
it's hard to argue with them because that's what they come up. How do you know? He wouldn't have fallen into a slump anyway. By well, how do well, you know?
Well, Passover's coming up starting tomorrow. So let me ask one of the four questions. What makes this night different than all other nights? Why Rory has never played a round? I'm just using this as an example. Of course, we could do it in any sport. But Rory had never played a round remotely similar to that in the Masters. In fact, I don't know if he's ever played a professional round that good. So, like, it could just happen, but it doesn't.
Yeah, but, you know, analytics is all about trying to know the unknowable. They still don't know. They think they've got a grasp because of, you know, recent history, but things can change. That's what's so great about professional sports is that the average doesn't always happen. The extraordinary tends to happen. And the reason they also – it's convenient to ignore hot guys because if they plan it out ahead of time, then they've got the built-in excuse. Well, this was planned anyway, so we didn't know he was going to go 4-for-4 with four home runs because he was already planned to have off because they ended up talking themselves into keeping a guy in. And if he ends up being hot for 15 games, then you never take him out either. So they want to plan it ahead of time, let the player know, hey, just by the way, so you don't moan and groan about it, that Saturday game against Baltimore, you're not playing. I don't care what you do. I don't care how many hits you have. And it just makes it easier for him, I think, to take the guys out. But to your point, you want to ride the hot hand. That's the way it is in all sports because a hot player has confidence.
I just think it's so dangerous to plan days off a week in advance. I mean, let your eyes tell you what's going on. Does Stanton look like he's slowing down? Is he moving slowly? Does he have aches and pains? He's out. But you don't know that 5 days before. You don't know that a week before. So I know what Aaron's doing. He's looking at pitching matchups. This is the best time to give this guy a rest. But when you're hot, I don't care about the pitching matchup. And again, not me. I couldn't play my way out of a paper bag. Professional athletes that have won championships, they laugh at the fact that it's not considered a big thing to be hot. They laugh at it. But then there are guys that haven't played the game that are smarter than all of us. And I'm not saying that facetiously. They are. They don't believe in hot. They just don't.
But that's like not believing in confidence. I think hot is all just about, for whatever reason, you're confident. And when you're confident, you're going to be at your best. And just like anything else, in any other walk of life, there's some days where you're feeling it and some days that you're not. Right? There's some days you feel like you can tackle to do anything. You can take on the world. And some days you just don't feel like getting out of bed. It's all about confidence. A hot streak is somebody that's confident, that believes they can do something. And then when you sit them down, Now they begin to doubt themselves. They don't know if they're going to feel confident the next day and how they're ever going to be able to get that back.
Let's go to Claude, Long Island City. Claude?
Hey, what's up, guys? I had a couple quick things. On Judge, why couldn't he do the same thing that LeMahieu did and just go target a dollar figure and spread it out over the years, and then the Yankees have, like, a lifelong ambassador, you know, that could, you know, do all kinds of marketing for them. But on the bigger conspiracy theory I have here, it's with Apple TV and how Scherzer wasn't able to pitch opening day for the Mets, but miraculously, 2 days later, his shoulder eased up and he was able to pitch on Apple TV, where
it was
that
his hamstring.
Was the only option to watch it was on Apple TV.
Let me ask you a question, Claude. First of all, as Don said, it was his hamstring. Second of all, you think that Buck Showalter gives two whatevers about Apple TV? He's trying to win. He pitches Max Scherzer when Max Scherzer says he can go. Max Scherzer's had these hamstring injuries before. He knows how to manage them. Pitching him on the Apple TV game had zero to do with Apple TV. Zero. If it did, anybody that made that decision should be fired immediately.
You want to talk about professional malfeasance?
Listen, if you're going to continue to mock me, I'm going to come out.
What?
Do we excuse me for my ignorance.
Excuse me?
There's no. Are we able to get ratings for apps?
No. Netflix never gives ratings.
So we'll never know
no.
what the number was for Apple TV.
We know the critics didn't like it.
Listen, I'll tell you one thing.
Go ahead.
I want to accentuate the point. It was shot beautifully. I don't know what cameras they used, but it was gorgeous.
Probably Apple cameras.
But it was
all
iPhone.
Very
nice.
They just had a bunch of people with iPhones shooting.
Yeah. They had 150 iPhones in the
stands. Wow.
My only critique is that let it breathe, man. You get three people in the booth. Everybody wants to say something. Silence is golden sometimes on television, right? Lay out occasionally.
Especially with baseball. I mean, it's nice. That's like part of the vibe, the energy. A little bit of room to breathe.
Let's go to Bob in Bridgewater. Bobby.
Hey, hello. First time caller. How are you guys?
Good. Welcome aboard.
Good. Thank you. A couple of points. The nine players into eight slots. Why is Kiner Falefa playing ahead of LeMahieu, who's in the second year of a $90 million contract, when his best position is second base? Why is he playing ahead of Donaldson, whose best position is third base? He's making $16 million for the next 2 years. Then you rest a Stanton and you rest a Gallo, and you keep playing Kiner Falefa. My point is, although Torres is not good at short, put him back at short, put LeMahieu at second, Donaldson at third, deal with Torres' errors. After six innings, if you're ahead, take him out. The other point I wanted to make is Cashman assembles the same team every year. They're good. They're built for the regular season to win 90, 95, 98 games. But in the playoffs, they never win lately because they're only facing top pitching. And the Yankees, like you said last night, if they don't hit home runs, they don't score. We need a true leadoff hitter. How about if they called up Baltimore and looked if they could trade for Cedric Mullins? Trade the house for the guy. Get a regular leadoff hitter that you can get a single, steal a base, and score a run on a single. Appreciate your feedback on those points, guys.
But, I mean, I don't think you trade the house for Cedric Mullins. That's not
he's
that's
a nice
not
player.
You give the house up. He's a nice player, but not a house player. You move Torres from shortstop for a reason. I mean, the deals that were made, this is not the same Yankee team they've always had. They have sacrificed offense so they could have two catchers that are great at framing and receiving the ball. So that's not the same. They've been going with Gary for 5 years, so that's different. They've determined after much consternation that Gleyber Torres is not good at shortstop. That's why they have Kiner Falefa. So you want to throw that all away after six games and just move Torres back to short. Now, DJ's a better second baseman than Torres. That is a conundrum. That is a conundrum. You're sacrificing defense. But I'm sorry, I don't think you put Torres back at short. You just don't. You're going to undo everything that you've done in six games. And the only reason you're saying that is because Kiner Falefa is 1-for-17. That's it. It's the only reason. So should they bench Higashioka? He's 1-for-17, too. But they can't bench him because there's nowhere to go to. But in your mind, let's go to Torres, who's subpar defensively. The big complaint in the last couple of years, the Yankees weren't good defensively. They improved themselves up the middle. Now you want to change it at the sixth game. Let it breathe like a wine, man. This is not football. You can't make decisions on 6 days, a 6 day sample size. Is that responsible?
Hmm.
That's Around the Bases, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com. What were you saying, Don?
I was just agreeing with you. It's a fabulous product.
What is?
What you just read for.
Nissan?
Yes.
Oh, you would
call it
Datsun.
I told you I was talking up Nissan, wasn't I?
But you would call it Datsun.
Well, I went Datsun because I don't want to disrespect Nissan.
I was a...
And I had a Datsun. Tree fell on it.
I had a Maxima. We had a hell of a time together. Love that 93 Maxima.
Automatic. The manual transmission. I love driving stick.
I hate it.
Because you don't like to drive.
I love to drive.
Then you would want to real. That's driving, man.
No.
It's driving.
I'm not Dario Franchetti or whatever his name is. I mean, I want to go.
Dario Franchitti?
Yeah. I want to drive. I don't want to have to concentrate on shifting gears. They've actually built transmissions that do it
that's
for
right,
you.
That's right. For people that don't enjoy driving.
Oh. Don, you remember my run that I just had a couple years ago today? Went and got a used car. Nice little stick Beamer for a year. Just to be back in practice, Don, just to feel the zone.
All right, let's take a timeout.
So
I don't want to get into another bagel argument.
No,
we're not arguing. We're just discussing.
Yeah, because everything I like, you don't like. I don't love to. I love to drive. I could drive for hours and not get tired. You know why? Because I don't have to concentrate. Oh, let me shift down. Oh, let me use my other foot. No. I sit back and enjoy the drive.
Is that really fun, sitting back and enjoying the drive?
Yeah, that's how life is. I sit back and enjoy the drive.
That is the opposite of your life.
Oh, really?
I've never known someone who sits back and enjoys the ride less. You're complaining about the ride. It's going too fast. It's going too slow. It's too herky-jerky. You don't like the way the food tastes. Come on. You're sitting back and enjoying the ride.
We'll be back on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.